Father, we give you the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Breathe upon us through your word that which you have ordained, that impartation of life. Let it come. Holy Spirit, this is your arena. This is your event. We take over the atmosphere for you this moment. We arrest every contrary force.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
You have no place. Every limit to the ability of God's people to receive, we come against you right now. Every satanic hold that creates distraction, distress, I arrest you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare this is God's house. This is God's Bethel right now. And in this next few minutes, everything that the Lord has ordained, we open up the doors for. Have your way, O God. We humble ourselves before you. We come with hearts that are yielded. All of you and none of us. Think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. Give us hearts that understand. Open our ears. Let life be released. We thank you, our God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's say it loud. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for being here. Please be seated. I want to thank God for all of our guests. Everyone who is worshiping with us, you received an invitation and you are worshiping with us. Thank you for being here. Amen. I know we already acknowledged our guests. So thank you. Thank you for honoring our invitation and for being here to celebrate with us, to receive God's impartation with us, and to partake in this special ordination service that the Lord has given to us. The ordination will be at the end, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time just ministering the word to us. I'm not going to be teaching like we did on Friday. I'm just going to speak and impart the life of God through his word. Hallelujah. If you joined us on Friday, there were some things that the Lord ministered to us. I know right at the very beginning, that prophet, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. There was dryness and drought everywhere. The drought had been on for so long that everything, you know, drought is never a blessing from God. Everything was out of place. Everything was out of course. Families were struggling. People were tired. People were hungry. Children, Drought is never a blessing. Any area of life where you experience drought, you cannot say you are enjoying the blessing of God in that area. If you have drought in your spiritual life, where your relationship with God is so disjointed, where you don't have clear and straight access to the throne of God, and you don't have a sense of conviction that God is present here and now and he's working with you. My friends, life can be very miserable. Drought is never a blessing from heaven. But sometimes droughts come to people's lives. Even though it is not a blessing from heaven, sometimes drought comes. And there are different reasons. We talked about some of that on Friday. Sometimes, the enemy, Satan, is just terrible. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. So sometimes Satan just creates dryness. But sometimes too, dryness can be as a result of our carelessness. We can have dryness in our relationships. We can have dryness in our families. We can have dryness in finances. We can have dryness in different areas of our life. In our health, we can have dryness. Amen. Sometimes it's just carelessness. Or sometimes we just trip up, and we open up the door to the devil. And Satan is very smart. If you open up the door to him, he will not come in alone. He's a master. Sorry, now I have to have you move that camera. I apologize. I didn't think about that. So how do you, is that going to be a problem for you? No? I'll just stay right here. You go sit down. I'll just stay right here. Don't worry. Yeah, I'll just stay right here. I apologize. I wasn't thinking. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
But that servant of God, he heard the voice of God. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Well, in this convention this weekend, the Lord said, the heavens will release the dew.
Amen.
There's rain coming down upon us.
Amen.
I said, there's rain coming down upon
Amen.
Us. You are due for the dew of heaven.
Amen.
The expiration date for that dryness has come.
Amen.
Any area where you are experiencing dryness and drought, the expiration date is here. Today you receive the blessing of the dew of heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
I said today you receive the blessing of the dew of heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
I see healing happening.
Amen.
I see the outpouring of God happening.
Amen.
I see God's mighty blessings being outpoured upon his people.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Sometimes God sends his word when our situation is at its worst. I don't know why sometimes the Lord waits until we've run out of all options. And in my spirit today, I believe there may be some people listening, whether in person or online, who are at their wit's end. You have run out of options. You feel like the doors have closed in. You've done everything you know to do. It's not really happening, and you are just about to pack it up and go back home. Well, the Lord has a word for you. You are due for the dew of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, tell the children, in this church, we love our children to be quiet.
If they are not quiet, we'll bring them to the pulpit and they'll sit down behind the preacher. I'm just kidding. We love you. Amen. Glory to God. There will be an outpouring of God's dew upon our lives. You may feel, and I sense that. I don't know, I've sensed that since Friday, really. Some people just, they feel like I've tried everything and nothing is working. And the Lord said for me to tell you, you are due for some dew from heaven. Well, in an impartation service, it's almost like the kind of thing that Isaac did. You know, Isaac prayed over his son Jacob in Genesis 27, 27, from verse 26, actually. Genesis chapter 27, from verse 26. His father Isaac said unto him, come now unto me, kiss me, my son. Verse 27, and Jacob came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his clothing, his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Verse 28, therefore, may God give unto you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. There are those packages. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you and blessed be everyone that blesses you. Notice, he said, may God give unto you the blessing of the dew of heaven. This is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. With that blessing of the dew of heaven comes all these packages. If you joined us on Friday, we talked about these packages. Number one, the elevation package. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Then we had the fruitfulness package. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Then we had the divine health and divine healing package. Do you remember that? And then we had the covenant of longevity package. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
And then finally, we had the uncommon favor and jubilee. All of those, uncommon favor and jubilee package, all of those come with the release of the dew of heaven. When Isaac laid his hands upon his son Jacob and prayed, he said, therefore may God give unto you the blessing of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. So, and then he said, let people serve you, nations bow down to you, and on and on. So right there and then, there was an impartation on that man. Amen. What the Lord wanted me to focus on today, as there's an impartation of life that goes out to us in this service before we get to our ordination, is the Lord wanted me to put a little bit more focus on what our responsibility is in this exchange. I know without a doubt that the Lord is blessing us. He's pouring out upon us. But we do have a part to play. I want to focus a little bit on that in this service. Because if we don't have a part to play, then all these blessings that God pours out on people, everybody will be walking in that blessing. Isaac had two sons. One of them was Jacob, and the other was Esau. Why is it that Jacob was blessed, but Esau was not? I mean, he was blessed, but it was almost like it's not that kind of blessing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If the word of God is true, which we know the word of God is true, why is it that some believers are able to access the promises of the word of God and some believers are constantly, almost always, like strangers from those promises? If the word of God is true, we know that. If this word and this blessing of God is available to every single one of us, why is it that some believers are able to enjoy the fullness of that blessing, and many believers struggle with it. It's because we have a response. We have a part to play in this thing. You can see, even from the very beginning, Esau sold his birthright. Even before the day of the impartation, he already disqualified himself by giving up the most important thing that God gave him. The most important thing. Everybody comes from heaven with something. How much you are distinguished in life is a product of how much you maximize what you came down from heaven with. Everybody is distinguished in life based on their ability to maximize what they came from heaven with. Nobody got anything on this earth and suddenly became a star because of it. It's not true. If you see any star, whether it's in politics, whether it's in education, whether it's in science, whether it's in finance, whether any star, anyone you see, politics, anyone you see who is at the height that people look up to and say, oh, they are distinguished, they maximized what they came from heaven with. And the people you see who never get off from the ground, they never take off. It's like a plane that is trying to lift, but it can't lift. It has everything, but it can't lift off. Those people that you see struggle like that, one of the biggest reasons for that struggle is that they failed to maximize what they came from heaven. It was one of the biggest differences between Jacob and Esau. Jacob looked at Esau and saw what he came from heaven with, and Jacob thought to himself, isn't that so good? You can blame him for whatever, but you can't blame him for putting value on what gives life value. Yes. You can't blame him. For someone who sees the value of God's endowment as being more precious than a bowl of porridge, you can't blame him for that. Do you know there are so many people who don't know how valuable the gifts of God are in their life? They treat cheaply the blessings of life. They take it for granted. Have you seen people like that? I'm not going to waste my time talking about them. But we have a part to play in this. My friends, we have a part to play in this. How much God can do in us. God bless you. Is that fine for me? God bless you. God bless you. You heard from the Lord. God bless you. Now I know you're a true prophetess. And you're a true prophet. You heard from the Lord. God bless you. I know there's one right here. It's just not enough. Or is it for the people? This is for over here. It's for the people. It's not for me. That's for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. We are responsible. We are responsible for the endowment of God. I want you to notice that right after the blessing, the impartation of Isaac upon his son Jacob, of course, he had an experience with God in Genesis 28, had this encounter with the Lord blessed him. But I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 32, after he received this endowment from his father, the blessing of the dew of heaven. I want you to notice in chapter 32, he had an encounter with an angel. In Genesis chapter 32, and from verse 14, I think it is. Genesis chapter 32, from verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Notice now, this man is already blessed. I want you to look in the Bible with me. Don't be distracted. Just, I want you to get something. God has something for you. For every one of us, including myself. I want you to notice he is already blessed. Because when he left home, his father put a blessing, an endowment upon him.
Yes.
But this night, he has an encounter with an angel. And the Bible says he wrestles with the angel. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Wait, I thought he was already blessed. Before he left home, he was blessed. His father put his hand upon him and said, may God give unto you the blessing of the dew of heaven. He was already blessed. But a few days later, he has an encounter with an angel. And the angel said, let me go. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The Bible says he wrestled with the angel. And the angel asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. The angel said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed.
Amen.
And the Bible says he blessed him there. He blessed him right there. And Jacob called the name, the place, Peniel, says, I've seen God face to face. Folks, we have something, we have a part to play in this. Notice, at the very beginning, Jacob prioritized his covenant with God. He said, I want the birthright. He prioritized his covenant with God. If you are not in Jesus, you don't have a covenant with God. My friends, and if you are in Jesus only by religion, you don't have an active covenant with God. So it's not just calling the name of Jesus in an airplane when it's about to crash that makes you a child of God. You have to have a one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with God. You have to be in the covenant. Jacob was in the covenant. Somebody say Jacob was in the covenant. Come on, somebody say Jacob was in the covenant. I don't like the way you people are looking. Somebody say
Jacob was in the covenant.
Slap your neighbor, tell them Jacob was in the covenant. Pastor, what does it mean Jacob was in the covenant? It means he and God walk hand in hand in partnership. Everything that God's heart was moved by moved the heart of Jacob. It means Jacob and God were inseparable. That's what a covenant is. A covenant is two different people being tied together. You are locked together. You are locked together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What belongs to one belongs to the other.
Yes.
When you are in covenant with God, you are locked together with God.
Amen.
You don't just call the name of God once in a while. You don't just pray once in a while. You are locked together with God. Jacob was locked together with God.
Amen.
Jacob was in the covenant.
Yes.
Number two, Jacob had stubborn faith. Jacob had stubborn faith. What did Jacob have? What did Jacob have? I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know, some people say, people sometimes say, life has to be like this. Sometimes life is like that. Not everybody is blessed. Not everybody can do well. If you go to school, not everybody can pass. Not everybody can excel. Some people, you know, some people have to settle for failure. If you do business, not everybody succeeds in business. If you do ministry, some people have to go under. You know, not everybody succeeds in life. Just things, just if it happens to you like that, and that's just accept it. No, when you have stubborn faith, you say, no, I believe God has the best plans for me. Jesus died so that I can have a good life, and until I have a good life, I'm not quitting. That's stubborn faith. You know, one of the things the Lord has talked to us a lot about this whole year, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the meaning of shalom. Yes. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So if in your life there is anything that is missing, maybe you have every other thing, and life is so good in many other areas, but then there is this one area where you have just struggled, there is an empty void there. You can't afford to say, well, I guess some people like us may have to deal with that kind of void for the rest of our life. That's not shalom. That's not nothing missing, nothing broken. You can have all the blessing of God in every area of your life, and then when it comes to this one area, then you accept and you settle for failure. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And it does not matter, excuse me, our sound is not perfect. Our setup is not perfect. It's really the best that the Lord gave us that we could come up with in a short time. We are renting. We had a little time. Our people worked so hard to let us. So forgive us if you're online and it's not perfect. Forgive us if you are here and it's not perfect. Just follow the message. Amen. It's not perfect. I just want you to know it's not perfect. But they have labored and labored and labored. Let's just enjoy what we have.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, you can't say in every area I'm blessed, but in this one area, you know, I will just accept that. That's not nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken means in every area of your life, you have completeness. I don't care what life says. I don't care what people say. I don't care what your family history is. I don't care what the situation, I'm sorry. I don't care what the situations around your life is. Nothing missing, nothing broken means God said I can have this, therefore I am going to have it. Excuse me, I'm going to have it. I don't care what life says. I don't care what disadvantages I have. God said, I can have this, I am going to have it. And I don't care how long it takes, I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I'm not going back home until I get it. God said I can get it, I'm going to get it. And until I get it, I'm not going back home. Shout hallelujah, somebody. I said, until I get it, I'm not quitting this. I don't care what the history is. I don't care what the disadvantages of life are. God said, I can have this. If God said I can have this, I want it and I'm going to get it. I said, I want it and I'm going to get it. And I refuse to quit until I get it. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me.
Hallelujah.
It's called stubborn faith. It's called stubborn faith. And you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 in the Amplified, it says, therefore, inheriting the promises is the outcome of faith. and depends solely on faith so that it can be by grace.
Amen.
I want to say that to you again. In therefore, inheriting the promise, any promise from God, any promise from God. Isaac laid his hands on his son and said, receive the blessing of the dew of heaven. That promise from God requires faith.
Yes.
Nothing in this world is automatic.
No.
You can't say, God promised me, therefore. No, I don't care if God promised you 100 times. You must go out and get it.
Amen.
I said, you must go out and get it.
Amen.
And when life begins to tell you, you can't have it. When life begins to tell you, people like you can't have it. Because of your, maybe, your height, your age, your family background, your education, or anything else. When life begins to tell you, you can't have it. You say, I must have this. If God said I can have it, I will have it.
Yes. Yes.
If God said I can have it, I will have it.
I will have it.
Let's read that scripture. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17, that's 16. As it is written, God has made you a father of many nations. Can you find it there? God bless you. Thank you for the overhead. Let me read it from my Bible here. Try to put it up if you can find it. As it is written, God has made you a father of many nations. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
There's an impartation going on right here. I can feel it.
Yes.
As it is written, I have made you, this is in the King James, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls the things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Look at God. Look at God. God who quickens the dead and he calls the things that be not as though they were. So God can look at somebody dead and say you are alive. God can look at somebody broke and say you are blessed, you are prosperous. God can look at somebody sick and say you are already healed. God who raises the dead and calleth the things that be not as though they were. But what did Abraham have to do? He had to believe God. And in order for him to believe God, he had to make up his mind not to stagger. Somebody say stagger.
Stagger.
He made up his mind not to stagger in faith. What does it mean to stagger in faith? To stagger in faith means to allow what you believe to be determined by what you see. Is to live a yo-yo kind of life. Up today, down tomorrow, based on what you see. If the economy of the nation is good, you say, I'm prosperous. Maybe you just got your tax return. You got a lot of money. You feel wealthy. When they are saying, confess in church, I'm the blessed of the Lord, I'm prosperous. Because you just got tax return, you say, I'm prosperous. But if your bank account dries up, and you don't have a job, and they say, confess, the word of God says, I'm prosperous. You say, I'm not too sure. Like I said on Friday, some people say, I'm old. If you are already calling yourself old at 35, 40, 45, you are saying you are old. I'm old. 35, 40, 45. If you make it to 60, you start saying, I'm dying. Peradventure, God has mercy on you. You make it to 65. If they say, brother so so and so, how are you today? I'm dead. The Bible says, God calls the things that be not as though they were. God can look at you today and you feel like you are a nobody, and God say you are a mighty man of valor.
Amen.
You are a mighty woman of valor. Yes. Then what do you have to do? You have to receive it.
Yes.
You have to believe it.
Yes.
You have to say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And no matter what you hear, and no matter what you see, God said it. I believe it.
That settles it.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm elevated. Glory to God. I have the spirit of wisdom in my life. I'm going higher and higher and higher. Woo! I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Put your hands on your head. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's not a result. It's not a factor of your bank account. It's not a factor of where you live. It's not a factor of what degree you have. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We have a part to play in this. We have to believe it. God said, I'm giving you the dew of heaven. That's it. Dryness is over. Dryness is over. I receive that. Don't be telling me. You have to see. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, let God be true, let every man be a liar. Anything that somebody says that is contrary to what God said in his word, it is a lie. It is a lie. Anything. I don't care who said it. Anything that anybody says that is contrary to what God said in his word, it is a lie. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. God said you will live long. The covenant of longevity is your portion. I don't care if you got a report that said there's cancer in your family. People in your family don't live long. I don't care what they said. It is a lie. Let God be true. And we have a part to play in this. We have a part to play in this. We have to esteem the covenant. We have to believe God. We have to have stubborn faith. You have to refuse to quit and go home. You have to refuse. God loves people that are importunate. God loves people that will not take no for an answer. If Jesus says yes, it has to be yes. I don't care who said no. I don't care whose father, whose mother said no. If Jesus says yes, it has to be yes. I don't care who shut the door. If God said the door is open for you, shut the covers. I'm hearing in my spirit, the Lord is saying some doors are opening to some people right now. Some doors are opening to some people. Some doors have been shut for many years, for generation after generation. You have tried, you have knocked, you have knocked, you have begged, you have cried, and the door has not opened. The Lord said, today, in this service, doors have been opened to you. Who is that person? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. I said, doors have been opened to you. Who is that person? We have a part to play in this. If you say, if you insist that what God said has to come to pass, what God said will come to.
Amen.
All the elements of this world will gather themselves together. They will line up with what God said. I don't care what anybody else said. If you insist, I believe what God said, and you stand on what God said.
Yes.
What is God saying to you today? Sit down. Let's try to bring this towards the close. What is God saying to you today, this weekend? Hosea chapter 14. God is saying, I will be to you like the dew. Hallelujah. I will be to you like the dew. And I will be to you like the night mist. Hallelujah. There's refreshing coming into your life. Any area where you have suffered dryness and drought, there's refreshing coming into your life. There's new rejuvenation coming into your life. Some dreams you gave up on, those dreams are coming back to life. I heard the Lord, he said for me to tell them, there will be a revival. There shall be a revival. Do you know what is a revival? A revival is not somebody who is unconscious in the hospital bed. He's unconscious in the hospital bed, and then maybe he moves his finger and he's there for another 3 years. And they say that that's not revival. He's existing, he's not revived. You know what revival means? Revival means a surge of life comes back into that person. There's a surge of life coming to somebody. Somebody is having a new beginning in this service. Somebody is having a new beginning in this service. There's a surge of life. There's a surge of new life coming to somebody. You know what revival is? Revival is a surge of life. Somebody was on that hospital bed. A surge of life comes into him and he gets up. The nurses are not there. He gets up. He has new strength. He has new life. He takes off everything. He packs his bag and he walks with his hospital gown still around him. He packs his bag and starts heading for the exit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When you look at that person, you say he's revived. This one has revived. Revival is coming into your house. I say revival is coming into your house. Revival is coming to your finances. Revival is coming to your business. Revival is coming to your ministry. Revival is coming to your church. Revival is coming to your body. Revival is coming to your life. Revival is coming to your marriage. Revival is coming to your family. You are revived. Somebody shout it out loud, I'm revived. Come on, shout it out loud, I'm revived. Let's read it in the Amplified, Hosea 14, from verse 4. He said, I will heal their faithlessness. Your faithlessness was already healed in this service. Amen. This is why I took some time to preach about faith. Yes. If you will be plugged into the word of God, yes. if you will plug in consistently into a river where the word of God is flowing, and you yourself will plug in, and you will get deeper, amen, and get closer to God, amen, and you begin to believe, your faithlessness is already healed. Amen. God said, I will heal their faithlessness. This is the Amplified, Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. I will love them freely. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God said, I will love them freely. Somebody say, I'm loved. Say, I'm loved. I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from Israel. My anger is completely turned away. I don't care what you did 30 years ago. God's anger is already turned away. You are loved freely. I say, you are loved freely. He said in verse 5, I will be like the dew and the night mist to Israel. Hallelujah. And in that place where it says Israel, in my Bible, I put my name there. I will be like the dew and the night mist to Coyote. He shall grow and blossom like the lily and cast forth his roots like the sturdy evergreens of Lebanon.
of Lebanon. Back in the King James, in verse 6, his branches shall spread. His branches shall spread. Your branches will spread. I say your branches will spread. You will not be locked up in one corner. You will not be on lockdown in one part of the world. Your branches will spread. You may start as a small seed, but God will establish you.
Amen.
You will mushroom. I say you will mushroom.
Amen.
You will take over cities.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The work that God is beginning in your hands, you started as a normal, mere, simple, average Joe work. But God will take it.
Amen.
And he will cause it to blossom.
Amen.
Before long, you will be employing people.
Amen.
You'll be paying salaries.
Amen.
Your business will grow in leap and bounds.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You will not have enough room to contain.
Amen.
The blessings of God that will be poured out upon you.
Amen.
If that's you, shout hallelujah. Say, I receive that. Say, I receive that. Say, I receive that. His branches will spread. His beauty will be as the olive tree. His smell will be as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, verse 7, they shall revive as the corn. They shall revive. I say revival is coming into your house.
Amen.
I say revival is coming into your house.
Amen.
Whatever was not working begins to work from this moment.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every evil report turns to a good report from this hour.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Every door that was shut against you opens of their own accord from this moment. In the name of Jesus. They shall revive as the corn. They shall revive as the corn. They shall grow as the vine. Their scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Their scent shall be as the wine of Lebanon. I like the way, I think it's the Message or the New Living Translation. One of them says, everywhere people will be talking about you. About what God has done in your life. You started from people where they were feeling sorry for you. Then they look at you, they say, hey, yeah, oh my show. Oh. And people will call you, we're praying for you. When they see you on the street, hey, yeah, oh. But revival is coming into your house.
Amen.
I say revival is coming into your house.
Amen.
When people see you, they will not be able to contain their excitement.
Amen.
They will look at you, they'll say, ah, is that you?
Yes.
Mr. Lagbaja, is that you?
Yes.
Mrs. Temodo, is that you? Is that you? You will say, that's me. Revival came into my house. Revival came into my house. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
And then after they leave you, they will go everywhere. They will be telling everybody they see. I saw Mr. Lagbajao. He is revived like the corn. He is sent, even his scent. God said, you know, God loves scent. He's just like me. He loves good scent. God loves good cologne. Hallelujah. He said, will be like the scent of Lebanon. Hey, the scent of Lebanon,
yes.
Cedar wood,
yes.
Fragrance,
yes.
When you smell it from afar,
yes.
Everybody who hears it, they take it in, and then they go and tell other people, they say, he's already revived though, shout hallelujah, somebody, glory to God, we're having so much fun, like a dear brother I used to know many years ago. He said, if by this time you are not having fun, then your wood is wet. Tell your neighbor, my wood is not wet. Tell him, I am having a lot of fun. The Lord's presence is right here. I am revived. Say, I'm revived. I want to close out by obeying the instruction of the Lord. From Ezekiel 37. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to act on it. The Lord said to Ezekiel, he took him to a valley of dry bones. He showed him this valley full of dry bones. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live?
Yes.
God said, Ezekiel said, God, only you know that. Only you know the answer to that question. He's a prophet. He has been preaching God's word to many people. Telling them revival is coming. God will revive your family. But when God took him to the valley of dry bones, and God asked him, can these dry bones, he said, God, that's only you. Some things are so bad, so hopeless, that it is difficult for people to even believe for change. God said, I want you to do something about it. See, Ezekiel said to God, only you know. God said to Ezekiel, I want you to do something about it. In fact, in that scripture, I won't read because we're done with time. We have to go to our ordination. In that scripture, see, many people don't realize, I know many people have not, you know this story, but there's a part of this story you don't know. Many people, I think it's verse 14, I'm not sure if it's verse 14. God, after the miracle happened and these bones, dry bones, came back to life, God said to Ezekiel, the reason all these bones became dried is because of their words. Is there? Do we have that? Can you pull up that scripture or not? I'll read it for you. If you have your Bible, look at it. That's the only scripture I read. Because you know the rest of the story. But this one I know most people don't know. I want you to see. And when you go home, because we're going to close so we can go to ordination now. Many people don't realize this. Some people don't understand the situation they are dealing with. Is it verse 11? The situation they are dealing with in their lives is as a result of the words that they themselves spoke for many years. The valley of dry bones. God is telling Ezekiel, you say it's verse 11? Let's read that verse 11. I'll just read just verse 11 and then I'm about to close this. Ezekiel 37, verse 11. You see, many times, people say, well, yeah, everything just got dry, life, you know, the devil. Yeah, I know the devil is bad. He does many things. But folks, I want you to understand something. I'm going to take this back a little bit. There's a lot of things going on in the lives of a lot of people that is a result of own words. It's their own words. Look at what God said in verse 11. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones, these dry bones, are the whole house of Israel. Because they say, look at this, because they say, the valley of dead dry bones was a valley of dead dry bones because of what they were saying. He said, because they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are all cut off. Our parts. They said it for so long until the whole valley dried up. The more they said it, the more their bones dried up. The more they said it, the more their bones dried up. Even some things that were working in their lives, because they kept saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. Why are they saying it? They are saying it because of what they are seeing in their situation.
They are saying it because of what they are experiencing in their lives. And they say, well, you know, we have to say it as it is. We have to tell it like it is. After all, I will be lying if I'm not telling it like it is. Well, how come the Bible says God calls the things that be not as though they were? Is God a liar?
No.
And the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. God can say you are prosperous and you are blessed and you don't feel like it and you don't have any evidence, and the people who look at you think you don't even measure up, but God says you are prosperous and you are blessed. Is God lying? This is where the division comes. You say to some people, God is doing an amazing work in my life, and they look at your life. There's nothing they can write home about. They count all the chickens you have in your yard. Half of them are almost dead. The other half, there's nowhere to... They look at you, they say, God is doing an amazing work. Where? Is it? They wipe their eyes. Please show me, where is it? But God looks at that and says, yeah, I'm really doing an amazing work.
Yes.
Because he calls the things that be not. He said, all our bones are dried up. We have lost all hope. And the more they talk about their hopelessness, the more hopeless their lives become. The more they talk about how bad the situation is, the more badder. The more badder the situation is. Today, as we close out this part of our service before we go into our ordination, I want to speak the life of God upon every area of your life. Wherever you are, whether you are here in person, whether you are with us online, or maybe at some later time you are receiving this message, the Lord has mandated me, like he mandated Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, speak. And it was in stages. The first time Ezekiel spoke, something happened, but it was not the complete. God asked him, he said, speak again.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to speak again.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to speak again and again and again until you see what God said.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to tell yourself, I will not stagger. I will not be weak in faith. I will not consider what I am seeing. See, that's what Abraham did. The Bible says he did not consider his body that was now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right? He was not weak in faith, but the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was persuaded that everything God spoke, God is speaking over your life. Can you stand to your feet today, everybody? Wherever you are, stand to your feet. The Lord is going to have us declare over our lives right now. This is the impartation. Any area of life where you feel a lack of completeness, where you feel it has not measured up to what God promised, in your spirit, wherever you are, let's close our eyes. The Lord wants to do a work in every area of our lives. Bone is going to come and meet bone right now. Sinews will come and meet sinews. There's going to be a lining up in destiny for you. Things that have been out of joint and out of place, God is going to bring things together. Something supernatural is going to happen for you right here, right now. I want you to gather in your spirit all the faith that you can. I want you to muster in your heart all the faith that you can.
to believe God for every word that he spoke today. Has God said it? Shall he not do it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what he asked Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When Sarah was laughing when God promised, God asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? This is our impartation. Wherever you are, I want you to put your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, there are packages being delivered right here, right now, in this service. There's a package of elevation. God is raising you up. He's lifting you up out of the mud. God is lifting you up out of the mud. God is giving you the upper hand right now. There is that uncommon breakthrough that's coming your way right now. That package is being delivered. Supernatural visitation is coming your way right now. That package is being delivered to you. The fruitfulness package. There's fruitfulness coming your way right now. Fruitfulness is coming your way right now. Revival is coming your way right now. Deadness is being turned to alive right now. Barrenness is being turned to fruitfulness right now. Fruitfulness is coming your way. Fruitfulness is coming your way. Fruitfulness is coming your way. Advancement, advancement, advancement is coming your way. Divine healing and divine health package. Wherever there is sickness in the body, lay your hands upon yourself right now. Muster all your faith. Take your divine health right now. Take your divine health right now. Divine health and divine healing package is yours. Take it right now. Wherever there is pain, in the name of the Lord Jesus, wherever there is something going on that you don't even understand, speak it over yourself right now. I receive my healing. I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Covenant of longevity package is coming your way right now. You will live, you will not die. You will live, you will not die. With long life, he satisfies you. He's showing you his salvation. You will live, you will not die. Accident will not take you out. Accident will not take you out. Mishap will not take you out. Sickness will not take you out. Covenant of longevity is yours. Receive it right now. Uncommon favor and jubilee is yours right now. Receive it. Debt release, receive it. Supernatural financial delivery, receive it right now. Supernatural turnaround, receive it right now. That impartation is happening for you. That impartation is happening for you. Now, if you believe you have it, begin to rejoice. Begin to give the Lord a shout. Begin to give the Lord a praise. Like you know you got it. Like you know you got it. Like you know you got it. Begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Say, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you the glory and the praise. We thank you, Lord. We lift you up and adore you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a glorious invitation.
We give you praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a glorious impartation. Oh my goodness. Your life will never be the same again. Even you will not recognize yourself shortly. You look at yourself, you say, is that you? You'll be asking yourself, is that you? God would have changed your story completely. God would have made something beautiful out of your life. God would have brought you supernatural turnaround in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. Amen.